Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Jaden Crum, attorney and associate in the employment practice at Cliff & Decker Hofmeyr. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. And you, Howard?
Very, very well, thank you. So let's just have a look at some of the primary reasons that that skilled people are leaving the country.
So I think, and I think you hit the nail on the head, it's not such a simple question. I think there are many reasons. There are micro and macro factors that come into play. There are some good, some bad. There are some pull factors and push factors that ultimately come into play. But I think that across the board, something that we have to bear in mind is, you know, where we stand and what the context is at the particular moment in time. And unfortunately, what's happened is COVID has really wrought havoc on our economy, and particularly the employment landscape, with employment at an all-time low. We have seen that our government has really not done the best for its people when it comes to the corruption and inefficiencies that we saw with the vaccine rollout, with the UIF TERS funding, and then subsequently the looting and rioting. And while all of those things aren't necessarily directly related, they all kind of play a part in setting the scene for where we are and what young professionals are looking at. And then we turn to what we'd look at our legal structures, our current legal and business framework. And unfortunately, our business and employment frameworks are not there for young businesses, for young professionals, for people that are wanting to start out in the company or in the country. Our employment laws are often a deterrent to people in employing in their companies. Union involvement often leads to more dismissals than it saves. And our company laws are not geared towards entrepreneurship and international investment, which is sorely needed not only in South Africa and Africa, but in any global economy. So I think those are kind of that's the scene that we live in. And yeah.
I think you could also add our very high personal income tax rate. You know, we sit certainly at one of the highest, I would imagine, in Africa, around about 45%, depending. But and given the fact as well that we need to pay for many of the services that other people don't pay, because that is covered by their tax money, education, the medical education, security, many of these factors, it does become an affordability issue as well.
No, 100%. I think that, you know, as young professionals and skilled workers, we often earn relatively high salaries in the South African context, and therefore we contribute a significant amount to the tax base. And despite the exorbitant taxes that we pay, we see very little benefit for us in terms of our infrastructure, which is in dire straits, our service delivery, which is almost non-existent. And most young professionals are effectively, like you've just mentioned, double taxed, in that in addition to the tax that we pay, we also then have to pay for our school fees, for our institutions, for our infrastructure. You know, everything needs to kind of go through a second mechanism of payment. And unfortunately, young professionals who have the options to leave will often seek out a country or a system that will offer them the most benefit. Mm. So you're 100% correct on that.
So what can be done about this? You know, what can be done to encourage people to stay?
So I think, and speaking from particularly a young professional and a skilled worker's perspective, I think that something that we need to look at and analyze very seriously is that from a both public and private sector perspective, is that if we look at the UK, the US, and some of the jurisdictions that have become very popular for South Africans to flock to, is that they are often offering much larger salaries, better bonus structures, better flexible working hours and work from home incentives. And what we see is that South Africans are generally viewed as very educated, proficient in English. We work hard and are relatively cheap when we move over. Mm. And I think something that we have to bear in mind is that COVID has really been the catalyst for the fourth industrial revolution. Young professionals are willing to move companies, cities, countries very freely. We aren't tied down to our desks in Sandton anymore. What we find is that we look at the world and we say, this country has the best opportunities for me, both from a financial and personal point of view. And then we apply and invariably we get in because we are very hardworking, educated and proficient in the language that's spoken there. So it's almost a non-decision.
Yeah. What is fascinating is it should work both ways, shouldn't it? I mean, if I'm a company here in South Africa, I might be worried that I'm losing people who want to go and live overseas. But at the same time, because of the comfort with which the remote working has started to function, surely I should then be able to look at all sorts of parts of the world to employ people the same way as it's happening the other way around.
Yeah, so I think the biggest issue then comes back to the affordability and the salaries and bonuses. To put it in perspective, someone in a legal position at my level will be earning almost 4 or 5 times what I'm earning comparatively in a foreign jurisdiction. So for someone to be brought over into South Africa, it doesn't translate that way, unfortunately.
Right, and well, look, I think law has its own difficulties, I would imagine, just because of the jurisdictional issues, maybe the need to present in court and things like that. Technology companies are probably better suited towards that type of thing.
Yes, I think that definitely is a factor. But again, I think, you know, especially when you're talking about the younger professionals and skilled workers that are looking at the world as a whole, we realize that we aren't necessarily pigeonholed into our particular fields. For example, if I studied an LLB, that doesn't necessarily mean that I would go over to the U.S. as an attorney, or maybe I'd go in as a consultant or that kind of route. And then also, I mean, we can't discount, for example, the CASA degree, which is something that's widely sourced in the world and people move over freely with those kind of degrees.
Which means, you know, when we look at all of those factors, what South Africa needs to start looking at is lifestyle, and it needs to start saying, well, you know, what are the advantages of young people who have the ability to pretty much work anywhere in the world? What would make it compelling for them to be here? And I believe that there are many, many reasons, and specifically the South African people themselves. I think there's no better reason to be in this country than fellow South Africans. But that said, unless we start marketing it as a lifestyle, all of these other factors that might have been relevant in the past are no longer relevant.
Yes, I tend to agree with you. And I think often, regardless of, you know, everything that we hear in the media, the choice to move overseas is often a very personal choice, and it has something to do with a very specific personal experience. But when it comes down to it, I think everyone has to look at the pros and the cons, and eventually, you know, the cons will start to outweigh the pros. And much like a disgruntled employee in a company, you continue exploiting your employees. If your employees aren't happy, eventually they'll leave.
They will leave. I think absolutely.
Yeah.